Hi, I'm Willow Belden, and you're listening to Out There, the podcast that explores big questions through intimate stories in the outdoors. Before we get into this week's story, I have some exciting news. There's this thing called Patreon, which is a crowdfunding platform for creative endeavors. It's kind of like Kickstarter, except that it allows you to contribute small amounts on an ongoing basis. Anyway, Out There is now on Patreon, and our first fundraising goal is to be able to cover some of the show's basic overhead costs, things like our website and audio hosting service. So, if you're enjoying the show, we would love for you to kick in a dollar or two a month, or more if you're able. You'll have our undying gratitude, and you'll also be eligible for some great rewards. You can find us at patreon.com/outtherepodcast, and of course we've got links on our website as well. Okay, on to today's story. So, stories about the outdoors often focus on the pros, the best skiers and runners and cyclists, the fastest thru-hikers, rock climbers who push the limits of what's possible. But what about the rest of us? What if you want to get outside, but you don't have the right gear or the right training or the confidence to venture into the land of no cell phone reception? Today's story comes to us from a man just like that. His name is Ryan Haupt, and he's a scientist finishing up grad school at the University of Wyoming. Ryan enjoys the outdoors. He likes going mountain biking and hiking and skiing. But those sports aren't his life. They're just hobbies. And so when he's out in nature, he often feels like he doesn't belong. I'll let him take it from here.
It's 4 a.m. It's time to get up. If we wait any longer, the snows above the tree line will melt just enough to not hold our weight, making the climb to the top that much harder, or so I'm told. I hear my phone buzz an alarm. It's suspended above me in the tiny gadget hammock of our tent, which is a technical term I just made up. The phone is resting comfortably in airplane mode to preserve its battery, since there's no signal out here anyways. My wife is already roused. She's typically better about waking up, but also a bit more nervous about our upcoming adventure. It's an adventure she's planned for my spiritual benefit. In a few days, I'm turning 30. I told her that one of the things I wanted to do before that day was climb a 14er. That's a mountain at or above 14,000 feet. So she's put together this trip. The night before, we'd all eaten a hearty meal and broken apart an off-brand Darth Vader pinata full of candies from the supermercado in the city. Besides my wife, no one in our group has seen even one of the 7 available Star Wars movies. Amongst most of my friends, this pop culture omission would be seen as sacrilege. But within this group, I get the sense that the ignorance of something so popular is worn as a badge of honor. How can there be time for something as paltry and passive as movies when there are mountains to climb? In the pre-dawn darkness, our team of 6 plus 1 dog get ourselves ready for the day ahead. For 2 of our companions, and the dog, this is routine. They've done hikes like this many times before. For the rest of us, though, the air is full of anxiety, about to boil over into a panic. Is my pack full enough? Is it too full, though? But does this thing fit quite right? Do I even need to be wearing it? What if? I'm convinced that our experienced mountaineering companions are annoyed with us. I'm trying to swallow enough cold brew coffee concentrate that I can survive the first mile and still be awake. My wife asks an innocent question. I can't even remember what it was, but I snap back at her, still not quite awake, but plenty scared. It's no excuse, but that is how we end up starting the day.
It's 5 o'clock. Let's go.
Our leader commands. No choice now but to grab our packs and hope we prepared well enough to survive. That sounds melodramatic, but it is what's going through our heads as we trudge the quarter mile from campsite to trailhead. For Fourteeners are something of a Colorado tradition. It seems anyone who's lived there long enough has climbed at least a handful of them. A few you've heard of, like Pikes Peak, but there are 52 others in the state besides that one. Colorado has the most 14ers in the lower 48. Today we're attempting Mount Elbert, the highest peak in Colorado and the second highest in the contiguous United States. This probably sounds impressive, but none of the routes up Mount Elbert are particularly technical. In other words, we won't be camping out overnight on the mountain, we don't need any climbing gear, and it's basically just a really long and fairly steep hike that can be done in a day. Still, people do die on these mountains. Lightning strikes, avalanches, or just doing something stupid or getting unlucky. We're minimizing all those risks by hiking early in the morning and using a route that doesn't leave much room for stupidity, but to me, it still feels like a big deal and a real risk. At the trailhead, a meager 10-minute walk from our campsite, we pause and take stock. I dash into the pit toilet for one last bit of relief prior to the climb. I wish it were all the relief I needed, but it's at least some. The sun begins to rise at our backs as we begin our climb up the mountain. I've always been a reluctant outdoorsman. My earliest camping experiences were sleeping in a tent with my little sister in our backyard in suburban Ohio, houses on all sides and a military-style wake-up call bugled by my dad. Since then, my life has been a somewhat pathetic attempt to keep up with those comfortable in the outdoors. I think people like me know what I'm talking about. There's that type of person for whom existing outside seems more comfortable than sitting in an easy chair. And for those of us that don't feel that way, those people are crazy intimidating. Whenever I'm around those folks, I put on airs as best I can, but I'm always left feeling like an imposter in my own skin. The outdoors belongs to them, and I'm hoping to trespass without getting caught or, frankly, killed. I think that's the thing about the outdoors that people are reluctant to talk about. The outdoors can kill you. You know what's outdoors? Frostbite, snakes, volcanoes, you know, things that can kill you. Will they kill you? Very likely not. I'm a scientist, so I get that the probabilities are on my side, but I'm also a modern person and I feel exposed in areas without cell signal. But admitting that the lack of digital signal bothers me is itself a signal of weakness, so I stay silent. Now let's be clear, I'm not a complete ignoramus when it comes to the outdoors. I've climbed mountains, I'm an Eagle Scout, I've filleted a fish for lunch that I'd caught that same morning, and I've even won a few mountain bike races. But I still don't feel like I belong. I feel like an imposter. And if the outdoors are intimidating, what's even worse is walking into an outdoor supply store unprepared. Now, I grew up playing games like Oregon Trail, so I've literally simulated the conversations of a person preparing for a grand outdoor adventure, never anticipating this digital experience would serve as practice for an actual conversation. As it turns out, the modern scenario isn't quite so easy as buying enough ammo to render bison extinct and hoping your companions don't get diphtheria when you decide to ford the river. For example, last winter I walked into a shop and asked to rent a pair of skis for an event up in the mountains. "Well, what kind of skis?" the clerk asked. My mind raced with the options. I own downhill skis, so not those. Some kind of cross-country option, but just saying cross-country was probably too vague. I decided to just lay it out on the table and hope for the best. Okay, I want to go slightly faster than I would on snowshoes, but not so fast that it feels like I'm exercising. Do you have those kind of skis in stock? The clerk responded with discernible contempt. In the end, I borrowed skis from a friend, participated in the event, had a great time, and only broke both poles. This experience exemplifies the problem with so many subcultures, in-group and out-group mentality. If you know the terms, know the gear, and know the local trails, you're in. If not, get lost, bozo. This mountain, this river rapid, this gear shop is for people who are serious. In other words, not you. And here's the dirty secret. They're right. At the end of the day, I won't ever care as much about that one particular trail, that one climb, that one whatever. I want to be outdoors, but only sometimes. Spending time in the wilderness isn't my life, it's just a hobby. I don't have the best gear, I don't always have the appropriate experience, and I'm bound to get things wrong, maybe more often than not. I am not an expert. I'm just a guy who occasionally likes to spend some time in the woods. My wife and I finished the climb up Mount Elbert. It was definitely an achievement, though maybe not the one I'd imagined. The hike was slow. It was arduous. It took about 6 hours to get to the top, let alone back down. You'd expect the summit to be like this big moment, right? A triumph against the force of gravity, which we felt like we were fighting with every trudging step upwards. That is how the story would end if it were fiction. The reality was more subdued. After a heartbreaking false summit, we made it to the actual top. The view was truly spectacular. When you're going up a mountain, you get sort of laser focused on the slope in front of you so that you forget that you're in a mountain range. Emphasis on range. And then, when you're finally on the top, you have a chance to take stock of all the peaks you couldn't see along the way. Mountains upon mountains upon mountains stretching towards the horizon in every direction. It was as humbling as it was impressive. But in that moment on the summit, the wind was bracing. And after a long climb, you are sweaty. And once you stop moving, you get cold fast. After a few minutes and a few photos, all of us were huddled together into a little rock shelter to try to get some relief from the chill and catch our breath. We passed around a few tall boys of beer we'd brought along to celebrate. But soon enough, dark clouds were rolling in anticipation of the afternoon's thunderstorms, by which time we'd do well to be off the mountain. So we chugged the last of the beer, tossed our packs back on, and began our descent. I had accomplished my goal, summited a 14er, made it to the top of the second highest mountain in the continental United States. And that felt good. But it hasn't changed the fact that I'm still an outsider when it comes to the outdoors. The backcountry still seems like a hassle. Lack of cell phone service cuts me off from the majority of people I talk to every day. I still don't know what kind of cross-country skis I need. I feign confidence and know-how, but I still feel like an imposter. And that's a bummer. At the end of the day, we have to ask ourselves, do we want our outdoor spaces to just be for the people who have earned it, for the experts? Should you have to prove yourself in order to feel at home on a river or a mountain? Or is it enough to just want it? Shouldn't the mere act of setting foot in nature grant us some reprieve from the more cutthroat aspects of modern life? I'm sure there are thousands of imposters out there just like me. People who constantly feel like they don't belong, as if the arena is stacked against them at every turn. Is that what we really want from our outdoor spaces? I truly hope not. So I'll continue to lace up my hiking boots, hope beyond hope that I've read the trail map right, and go on my little mini adventures when I have the time and the motivation. I won't do everything right, and I may need help, but I'll show up with the gear that I can afford, rent, or borrow. I'll try to keep up, and I won't complain. After all, I'm out there. Isn't that the point?
That was Ryan Haupt. He's working to complete his PhD at the University of Wyoming, studying paleontology, which ironically is one of the more outdoorsy types of science. Ryan also hosts a podcast of his own called Science Sort Of. It's a show about science, things that are sort of science, and things that wish they were science. I was actually on his show back in days of yore, talking about a story that I had reported in South Africa about elephant birth control. That was episode 185, in case you want to hear it. Anyway, you can find all of that at sciencesortof.com, and of course, we'll have a link on our website. You can also follow Ryan on Twitter, at Haupt, that's at H-A-U-P-T, and you can read more about his research at ryanhaupt.com. Coming up next time on Out There.
I'd shoot the bird and skin it and treat the hide and then stuff it with old mattress, clean old mattress stuffing that I'd get out at the dump.
So, were you preparing all these birds at your house?
Yes. Yes, I skinned most of them on the kitchen table.
And what did your wife think about that?
She was used to that.
Tune in for that story on June 1st. A big thank you to Deb and Vince Garcia, George Davis, Janet Cochran, and Jerry Lynch for their financial contributions to Out There. Jerry says he listens to Out There at the gym, and he says, quote, "It helps the workout hours go quickly, and I love learning new things and listening to others share their experience." Thanks so much for the kind words, Jerry. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, Out There is raising money to pay for some of our basic overhead costs, and we need your help. We're now on Patreon, which is a crowdfunding platform that lets you support creative endeavors you like. It's super easy. You just pick an amount you'd like to donate on a monthly basis, enter your credit card info, and then you're done. You will have our eternal gratitude, and you'll also be eligible for great rewards, including discounts on Out There apparel. If every listener donated just $1 a month, we would not only reach our goal, but we'd also be able to pay our freelancers what they're worth, and Alex and I would be able to get some compensation for the work we do. So if the show brings a smile to your face or lifts your spirits on a gloomy day, and you're in a financial position to contribute a dollar or so a month, we would love for you to sign up. A dollar a month. To put that in perspective, that's a fraction of the cost of one cup of coffee. Anyway, you can find us at patreon.com/outtherepodcast, and we also have links on our website. That's it for this episode. Our theme music was written by Jared Arnold, and our marketing and business development director is Alex Egerking. Have a beautiful day, be bold, go outside, and find your dreams.